November, the United States stepped back from the edge of constitutional collapse. President George Bush, the self-proclaimed decider, and Karl Rove, the master of political spin, could only watch and clench their fists on the sidelines as the U.S. public reasserted control over Congress.
You said you were surprised, you didn't see it coming, you were disappointed in the outcome. Does that indicate that after 6 years in the Oval Office, you're out of touch with America for something like this kind of wave to come and you not expect it?
I knew we were going to lose seats. I just didn't know how many.
Democrats picked up 28 seats in the Congress, and we're still counting some. 6 seats in the Senate and displaced 5 incumbent senators.
I thought when it was all said and done, the American people would understand the importance of taxes and the importance of security.
Democrats gained 6 gubernatorial offices across the nation for a total of 28, gained 275 state legislative seats. They now control both houses in 23 state legislatures, and Republicans fell from controlling 20 to 10.
Hello, I'm Liz Chambers. The reasons for the Republican rout will likely be debated for years. The neocons blame the loss on misplaced strategy. Exit polls, however, show that voters clearly wanted a shift back toward populist, progressive government.
But for all the talk about the new conservative Democrats coming from conservative districts, the big change in the Senate is the rise of true populist champions. Bernie Sanders from Vermont, Sherrod Brown from Ohio, John Tester, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota.
Some of the most entrenched anti-labor, anti-environment, pro-corporate politicians in Washington were washed away by an electoral wave of voter outrage. For example, in August, we aired a Dirty Dozen list created by the League of Conservation Voters. It identified politicians who consistently undermine our natural resources. Only 2 of those blacklisted candidates earned re-election, Henry Cuehler and Dan Boren, both Democrats. Some of the other political casualties: Senator Rick Santorum, the anti-gay crusader from Pennsylvania. Santorum opposed virtually any form of environmental protection, arguing that nowhere in the Bible does it say that America will be here 100 years from now. Representative Katherine Harris, a key player in the stolen presidential election of 2000. Harris showed little regard for public health and safety. For example, even after the drinking water in her home state of Florida was poisoned by MTBE, she voted to shield the company that makes the chemical from consumer lawsuits. Representative Richard Pombo, the 7-term California incumbent. Pombo fought on behalf of polluting corporations for years. During his reign of environmental ruin, he tried to roll back the Endangered Species Act, sell off our national parks, and hand millions of acres of public mining property to private developers. Senator George Allen, the Virginia incumbent accused of racism. Allen supported huge oil company kickbacks and anti-environment bills, earning him a lifetime rating of 1% from the League of Conservation Voters. Representative J.D. Hayworth, an extremist known for his anti-immigrant rants. Heavily supported by developers and beer companies, Hayworth welcomed drilling in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. Senator Conrad Burns, also named one of the nation's 10 worst senators by Time magazine. Burns voted to cut funding on solar and renewable energy and scoffed at global warming. He opposed stem cell research but supported pesticide testing on human beings. Of course, Democrats did not win every race in the 2006 election. One of the biggest challenges to a truly progressive agenda in the Senate may come from Joe Lieberman, the hawkish militarist from Connecticut.
We've got to do what we sincerely...
But can you keep a country at war that doesn't want to be there?
You can't, and that's why we need to form a bipartisan consensus for victory in Iraq, for success in Iraq, which is still attainable.
If, in fact, they ask for discipline in the Democratic caucus and you start to feel uncomfortable with it, would you consider crossing across the aisle, going across the aisle and joining the Republicans if they gave you the same chairmanship that you had and respected your seniority?
Well, that's a hypothetical, which I'm not going to deal with them.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Joe Lieberman, and I approve this message.
The media appears determined to weaken Democratic resolve to pursue the will of the people. From the Wall Street Journal to the Washington Post, MSNBC to CNN, big media has lashed out at Democrats, warning them against using the mandate for change that the public has provided.
Well, you returned to the Capitol and said the first order of business was return to oversight. And in other words, to many people, that sounded like you were saying we need to have a bunch of investigations here. We need to find out how we got from there to here. Aren't you going to have to look forward rather than backwards? Shouldn't that be where the priority is in trying to figure out where we go from here in Iraq, to figure out where we get to what we come to some understanding on immigration, rather than going back and trying to figure out what we did wrong?
Newt Gingrich told business lobbyists that Clinton Democrats are the enemy of normal Americans. As first reported in today's Washington Post, Gingrich promised the lobbyists that if Republicans win control of the House and Senate, they will then use their newfound subpoena power to spend the next 2 years investigating corruption in the Clinton administration.
I do not know of any administration in modern times with as many different potential scandals all around it.
And on the Hill, Gingrich's early moves foreshadow partisan warfare. In a memo, he ordered Republican staffers to warn Democrats that they face fines and imprisonment if they destroy any House documents.
Another sign of the times, a Republican staffer stepped into a Capitol hallway and shouted, "All Democrats, get out."
Look what happened when Senator Hillary Clinton raised the critical issue of universal health care.
But the whole issue of health care is coming back. That may be a bad dream for some, but for others, it's a very welcome possibility. Because
I remember all too well that confused, nonsensical mess you tried to make of the greatest health care system in the world.
Here's another example of the media's anti-reform agenda as they preemptively attack Democrats who might challenge tax cuts for the rich.
Some in your party have seemed to indicate that the rich have had a free ride over the last 6 years, and they say that now times are changing. Do you agree with that, that maybe the rich, maybe the well-to-do, who've profited and done very well these last 6 years, should see their taxes go up?
I don't really think that the tax writing committee should determine who is going to get increases or tax cuts.
And the way you do that is by putting more taxes on the very rich. Do you rule that out as well?
I think the American people are going to see that we are not going to be running around seeing which tax can be raised.
Corporate news outlets use clever framing to defend the status quo. They argue, for example, that most Americans crave a centrist government. Polls support this argument on the surface, but the spin is in the details. Where is the center? Big media would like us to believe we're already there and nothing further needs to be done.
Some pundits say the White House has the blues because of the elections. However, it may turn out that the president will be able to jumpstart a lot of his domestic agenda by working with the blues, the Democrats, that is.
Now it's time to come to the bargaining table. One issue that they may almost completely agree upon is immigration, because a lot of the conservative base, at least, in the Republican Party did not agree with the president and his guest worker program.
You mean amnesty.
An amnesty, and Democrats tend to support that.
Since about 1980, U.S. politics has been shifting away from the real political center desired by voters. Presidents of both parties have played their part in this shift. First came the privatization of transportation under Jimmy Carter, followed by the gutting of free trade protections under Bush the First and Clinton, then media consolidation and the dismantling of bankruptcy protection for the public under Bush the Second. The new Democratic majority will have to rebuild America piece by piece. According to leading progressives, we must first end our illegal occupation of Iraq. At the same time, we must begin paying down the huge national debt caused by Bush's tax cuts and roll back legislation legalizing torture and spying. In addition, trade agreements that hurt American workers such as NAFTA and CAFTA must be scrapped, and dozens of Bush administration attacks on our environment must be revisited. Other key issues include universal health care and reducing our energy dependence on oil. Of course, the president has the power to veto much of the progressive legislation likely to make it through Congress. But Democrats have an ace up their sleeve, the power to investigate criminal activity and even treason. This type of inquiry could lead to impeachment of both Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney. Many of the president's critics argue for aggressive investigations, whether or not Bush agrees to holster his veto pen. These changes, however, may not have a lasting impact unless three issues that are corroding our democracy are addressed: ratcheting down the power of corporations, reducing the size and mission of the U.S. military, and getting corporate money out of our elections.
We really do need real campaign finance reform. Mm-hmm. We need to get the big money out of politics because it is...
But how do you do that? I mean, everyone does say...
You know,
how
in the state of Arizona, there's a wonderful Democratic governor named Janet Napolitano who got elected on a clean money campaign. She did not have to go to special interest to raise money to do it. Nobody who runs on that clean elections plan in Arizona owes anybody anything. All they have to do is go in there and do what they think is right, which is really what the American people want. It's not so much about being a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat or a Republican. What people are mad about is that politicians go to Washington and then they won't stand up for anything.
The most significant lobbying and ethics reform in 25 years that even had a provision in it pushed by Dianne Feinstein for transparency and earmarking. That passed the Senate by a large margin. It was lost, as so many things have been lost these past 6 years, in the Republican House of Representatives. No conference. I would like to see that get done.
Author Paul Waldman argues that progressives must use their newfound power to bring justice and accountability to the government. The Republicans, he notes, issued 1,052 subpoenas investigating the Clinton administration between 1997 and 2002. They only wrote 11 subpoenas related to the allegations of Republican abuse. Waldman suggests that the Congress take the following steps. Investigate. Start one new investigation per week, not on frivolous witch hunts, but serious crimes, corruption, and election dirty tricks. Both Republicans and Democrats should be held to the same ethical standards. Pick a fight. Force a constitutional crisis that requires President Bush to defend his violations of constitutional law before the Supreme Court. Boycott Fox. Democrats, as a bloc, should refuse to appear on Fox News Channel, sending a clear signal that they will not legitimize right-wing propaganda. And finally, debunk conservatism. Waldman suggests that progressives hang the failures of George W. Bush like an albatross around the neck of every new conservative uprising. This, he says, would remind people of the disastrous failure of laws that slash taxes for the rich and cut back regulations on polluters.
He made it clear Great Society and other anti-poverty programs are targeted for destruction, a plan that has already angered black leaders.
The Speaker of the House, Gingrich, has declared an official stop to the war on poverty and the revival of the war on the poor.
We're going to be open to working with everyone, that we will cooperate with anyone, and we will compromise with no one.
Claiming the voters had given Republicans a sweeping mandate, Gingrich said the cost of failure would be high.
If this just degenerates after a historic election back into the usual baloney of politics in Washington and pettiness in Washington, then the American people, I believe, will move towards a third party in a massive way.
That's all for this month. Coming up next, Americans in ever-increasing numbers describe themselves as Christian far more than most other industrial nations. Daniel Noel shows us how crossing the line between church and state encourages intolerance and even war.
This is a sick old world.
Kids, you got to change things.
Boys and girls can change the world? Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag.
There are two kinds of people in the world. People who love Jesus and people who don't.
Speak the word of the Lord.
Where should we be putting our focus? I'll tell you where our enemies are putting it. They're putting it on the kids.
How long have you been a Christian?
At 5, I got saved.
Yeah?
Because I just wanted more of life.
You go into Palestine, and they're taking their kids to camps like we take our kids to Bible camps, and they're putting hand grenades in their hands.
There's an excitement, yet there's a peace with it all, too. That's really cool.
I really feel that we're a key generation to Jesus coming back.
And we are a generation that needs to rise up and run with that baton.
Yeah! How many of you want to be those who would give up their lives for Jesus?
We're being trained to be God's army.
Not enough!
You are the beginnings of a movement.
Raise up righteous judges!
There's a new church like this every 2 days in America.
25% of the American population, that's about 80 million people.
If the evangelicals vote, they determine the election.
They've taken over the White House, Congress, the judiciary for a generation.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
This means war! This means war!
Are you a part of it or not?
Can you tell me why almost every presidential hopeful now seems to be angling for a place in the holier-than-thou pecking order?
For it, I was a young man, had just gotten out of college. I was hired by a group of churches.
Hillary Clinton is showing off her crucifix. John McCain is kissing Jerry Falwell's ring. And Rudy Giuliani looks like he may start speaking in tongues.
I tell you from my heart how much I appreciate what you're doing. And if any of these lessons help at all in saving people and helping people and bringing them to Jesus and bringing them to God, you've done me a great favor.
Why the sudden piousness? Allow me to be cynical. New polls estimate the percentage of self-described Christians in the U.S. at more than 85%. What better way to score points than by dropping God's name into your political scheming? As a side bonus, you get to absolve yourself of any personal responsibility for bad judgment.
I have no regrets today and no doubts. I am proud of the past. I am at peace with the present. And I'm excited about the future, which holds, as always, America's brightest days, and mine too. Thank you, and may God bless you all. He has certainly blessed me.
Religious grandstanding in our politicians might be fine, if that's as far as it went, but we know it doesn't stop there. Before his fall from grace, Ted Haggard was bending George Bush's ear on matters of state.
He's one of the people every week on that phone call with Karl Rove.
No doubt. No, he is, clearly. This doesn't change anything. I mean, really, everything is still the same. The message is still the same.
Should look closely at the issue of judicial activism and make their voices heard. You're loving your country and your fight to sustain it. God bless you. Thank you for having me. And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
Lamborn's brand of conservatism goes over well here.
Protecting God's greatest gift, Senator Doug Lamborn sponsored more pro-life bills than anyone in the legislature.
In the Republican primary, Lamborn's allies sent out mailings accusing several of his opponents, including one former Heffley aide, of promoting the, quote, homosexual agenda.
At the same time, the U.S. military has now been deeply infiltrated by Christian extremists. In his book, With God on Our Side, Michael Weinstein documents how evangelicals of the far right have made religious intolerance part of daily life at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. By perverting the image of Christ into a sort of Rambo of the rapture, they hope to Christianize the world with bullets and bombs.
Your attention, please. All junior cadets report to the staff sergeant on the parade grounds for orientation. Tonight's documentary film, The Passion, will be followed by Bible group discussions.
Today, boys and girls, you will put away childish things. Today, you embark upon the path of the spiritual warrior. Today, in the eyes of the U.S. Air Force, you are nothing but useless lumps of secular humanist clay. Now, in the next 2 years, the United States Air Force, with the help of Jesus H. Christ Almighty, will pound you and ground you and mold you into vessels of God's righteous destruction. You will be baked in the double-fired kiln of God and duty.
Amen, sir!
Out there in the real world, you'll be facing an enemy drunk on the Kool-Aid of godless ignorance. I cannot tell you whether that enemy will be wearing a veil, a towel, or a toga. I cannot tell you if he will have a beard, a topknot, or a propeller beanie. But you will know him when you see him, because he will not know God.
Sir, the recruiter told me the Air Force does not discriminate on the basis of race or religion, sir.
Listen here, Akbar. We don't treat Arabs any different than anybody else, if that's what you mean.
My name is Adam Nigier, sir, and I'm a U.S. citizen.
A name does not make a man, son. It's what's in here that counts. Now, there's a lot of people out there that got nothing but hate in here. They hate our faith. They think their God's just a little bit better than ours is. Those people would just as soon slit your throat as look at you.
Sir?
What the hell is it, Schwartzstein?
It's Rubenstein, sir. Don't they hate us because we destroyed their country and killed thousands of their family members, sir?
You're Jewish, right, Reuben Schwartz?
That's right, sir.
I don't see a Jew when I look at you, Rubenstein. I see a potential goyim first class. A useless, wise-ass lump of half-baked clay. When the iron fist of the United States military comes slamming down on some insurgent hornet's nest, that's not a Jewish fist or a Hindu fist. That's the fist of Jesus wiping the smirk off of Muhammad's know-it-all face.
Permission to speak freely, sir.
Make it fast, cadet.
With all respect, sir, I am a Muslim, and I take offense to what you said about the Prophet Muhammad, sir.
Cadet, are you intent on spending the rest of eternity writhing in the deep end of Satan's napalm swimming pool?
No.
Let it go, son. In the battle against the unchristian, there is only one heavenly general who's got the firepower to put the spiritual headlock on Satan, and his initials are J.H.C. Eternal vigilance, boys and girls, that is the watchword of the war on terror. You are God's eyes and ears and nerve endings in the field. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you are considering going AWOL.
Respectfully, sir, what if God is a woman, sir?
This is not a debate, Willesky. You're linebackers on Christ's home team, entering the big game in the fourth quarter. That goes for you too, Rubenstein. You got some serious spiritual make-good time to do for what your people did to Jesus.
Jesus was Jewish too, sir. The Romans killed him, sir.
Are you trying to get under my skin, Rubenstein?
The chaplain says that the Jews killed Jesus, but it doesn't matter, because when the rapture comes, the Israelites will realize that they were worshiping the wrong God, and the ones that aren't turned inside out and strangled by their own intestines will join hands with us and be beamed up to heaven.
Don't touch me!
Cadets, think of your duty as defending a spiritual World Trade Center. Now, your enemies want to jam the elevator to Christ's penthouse suite. You must do whatever it takes to keep that stairway to heaven free and clear.
Is that why we have to bomb those Islamo-fascists back to the Stone Age, Sergeant?
That's right, Murphy. Now, I'm not here to judge you. I don't give a gopher's gonad whether you're a homosexual or fat. Or even a lesbian. But if you ain't willing to lay down some serious whoop-ass in the name of Jesus H. Christ, well then, we got ourselves a problem.
Hoorah, sir!
That's the Marine salute, son. What's our battle cry, boys and girls? I can't hear you.
One God, one country, sir.
Now, does anybody else want to second-guess God, or shall I start the lesson? Good. Now repeateth after me the words of the Holy Bible. Blessed be the Lord that teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight.
Sir?
Save it, Murphy. My fortress, my high tower, my deliverer.
Sergeant?
What the hell is it, Murphy? Do you know what this means, son? God has chosen you to have dominion over your fellow cadets. Are you willing to be a vessel of God's righteousness?
I'm ready, sir! Fire up the kiln and bake me hard!
At ease, son.
This afternoon's seminar, Waterboarding, A New Approach to Baptism, will begin shortly in the Student Union. And for today, the Heritage Foundation will hold a panel titled The Truth About Bible Prophecy and the U.S. Military. Coors Beer will be served before, during, and after the presentation.
Faith doesn't have to be used as a weapon. Many religious charities work to help the poor and ease suffering. Religion also can provide a community anchor, a way to pull together in a country fractured by suburban sprawl. Christianity is not a partisan divide either. More than half of the nation's evangelicals are African Americans, who tend to vote the Democratic ticket. Claiming the moral high ground infers that everybody else is somehow inferior. You can help put a stop to this madness. When a politician claims to speak for God, let her know that's not the business of government. Ask her to save it for the mosque, the synagogue, or the chapel, or better yet, for the privacy of personal contemplation. I'm Daniel Noel. I'll see you next month.
Lazarus lies in America's gutter. Can't recall what he went to war for. Our Father, my mother.
Liberty News TV depends on the support of viewers like you, not corporations. Visit our website at libertynewstv.com and let us know you care.
I saw my brother stranded on the road. His graveyard face had tombstone eyes. He said, can someone help me with my load? Help me see through all these lies. Hey, I want to be somebody,
somebody,
yeah. Don't want a life that's just pretend. I wanna be
somebody, somebody, yeah.
Someone who matters in the end. I saw my sister in the dark alley. She said, all I cry. I try so hard.